In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We are come to the Sunday during Great Lent, when we put before us the icon of St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus, St. John of Sinai. He wrote one of the most famous spiritual texts of all, the Ladder of Divine Ascent. And the image of the ladder that is in the icon that we have here at the center of the church today has for many, many centuries and many generations of Christians an image of the ascent into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven, that Christ makes possible for us, so that we might arise and fulfill that prophecy that came in the time of Jacob when he lay down and he saw angels ascending and descending, as we now say, on the Son of Man. Because the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, he is the way. It is by him that we ascend into the kingdom of God and leave our veneration and love of the world behind us. It is one of those icons that is a little frightening. Some of the icons of the Ladder of Divine Ascent are more frightening than others. There are always those who are falling from the ladder of ascent into the kingdom of heaven, falling from the ladder that begins in the middle of a life where we are bound by the presence of death in the world, and that means suffering, and it means missing the mark, it means sin. The foot of the ladder is in that world, but the top of the ladder is in the kingdom of heaven. We come to the divine liturgy and we ascend into the kingdom of God on the Son of Man by way of the common work that we do together that is the divine liturgy. In our lives in the world, we ascend. Not simply rung by rung. Not simply in a kind of way that is guided by time. The way we accomplish something when we build it ourselves. Whenever a human being builds something, there is something that needs to be done first, or the second thing can't be done, and then the third and the fourth, and they are all done in order, one after the other. There is a narrative sequence that can't be broken because we are limited beings and we live in a world of time and space where each thing must be done one thing at a time. But the ladder of divine ascent is not like that. The ladder, the path of our spiritual way that we make through the course of our lives, isn't like that. It's not ordered according to the events that happen to us as parts of our biography in the order. First we are born, and then we go through the events of childhood, and then we go through the events of adolescence, and then we go through the events of our young adulthood and our old age, and we look back, and that is our slice of time in the world. We want to be able to make some sense out of our lives as though my life could be the standard of meaning when it comes to spiritual life. And the fact of the matter is that it isn't like that. Things happen according to when they need to happen in the events in our lives for our best benefit. They don't happen as a result of the order of things in our lives sequentially in time. St. John of the Ladder said, "Some receive heavenly gifts before any spiritual labor. Some receive grace, heavenly gifts, during labor. And some receive grace after they have departed. After they have departed this life. Each person is different because each one of us is a different and particular and specific person. No two persons have been alike from the beginning of time until the end of time. Now, the meaning of God's salvation of the world, it includes all of us together. But receiving that salvation, it's going to be a matter of my living my particular life, you're living your particular life, and God will do the things that need to be done when we are available to have them done in such a way that they will make the kind of difference that is necessary in our lives. The shape of our life is not made by the temporal events of our life in the world. It's not made by the line of our efforts to accomplish one thing or another. We can't see the hand of God in how we accomplish the things that we try to accomplish, because our life is in the hands of God. It's not in our hands. The ultimate question is how we respond to His grace when He does what needs to be done at the right time according to His plan of our life, according to His spiritual plan of our life. We need not know the details of that plan. We only need to respond as we ought to respond as the created children of God each time He gives us His grace. St. Gregory Palamas, thinking about what St. John of the Ladder said about the grace that God gives before we have made any labor, during our labor, or afterward, said that God might reach His hand out to someone and do something especially significant that will be the center of their lives even before any effort has been made at all. For the rest of the life of that person, that will be the central event, even though it came at the beginning, even though it was unlooked for. We may not be able to understand the significance of it. It's not a matter of our understanding the significance of it at the time. It's a matter of our responding to it, recognizing that it has the significance that it does, recognizing it and being grateful for the grace of God that was given. It may have been given, St. Gregory says, in order to anoint us for labors that are yet to come. The life of each person is different. St. Gregory gives the example of St. Mary Magdalene. After the crucifixion, after Christ lie in the tomb, when she went to the tomb, the first one, she saw that the stone had been moved. And what did she do? She didn't enter the cave. She went immediately to Saints Peter and John and the rest of the disciples, because her fear was that the body of our Lord had been taken and hidden someplace, and we don't know where it is. Her understanding was at that level. She didn't immediately jump to the conclusion that He had arisen. Those things had not yet been revealed to her. And they are revealed to each one of the disciples, the apostles, in a different kind of way, in a different kind of sequence that has to do with the spiritual life of that particular person. And here we are taking Mary Magdalene as an example. She goes back to St. Peter, St. John, and the other disciples. And they follow her. They go back to the tomb again, running. And St. John, being the youngest of the apostles, gets there first. And he doesn't just run into the tomb, into the cave, any more than Mary Magdalene did. St. Peter comes up just after St. John, and he enters into the cave. He's the first one to enter into the cave. He's not the first one there, not even the second, but he enters into the cave, and he sees the linen cloths that are there, and the face cloth that was over the face of Christ, folded and put in place. And then St. John comes in and sees what St. Peter saw. But they don't understand. They don't immediately come to the conclusion that Christ is risen. They don't understand. These things come in the time of God's choosing in terms of his dealing individually with those who love him, with those who desire to be close to him. Everyone is different. St. Mary returns to the cave again. She does not enter. She stays outside of the tomb and she weeps. She still longs for our Lord. But her longing has a quality in it that St. Gregory says is going to lead to a kind of patience and awaiting the action of God's grace rather than running ahead, rather than entering before we are ready to understand. We're Americans. We want to be in control of our own lives. We think freedom to be in control of your own life. There are other ways of understanding. Could be freedom to fail and learn at your own rate of speed, as God reveals to you at exactly the moment that you are capable of understanding that bit of what he has to reveal to you. God gives us the freedom to be able to experience him during the course of our lives, making each event in our life the possible occasion of his revelation of something else, unless we affirm ourselves, and then we don't learn anything. Who are the ones who fall off of the ladder as they ascend? They are the ones who are in a hurry, the ones who get ahead of themselves, the ones who stumble because they are certain that they need to go up as quickly as possible. There are those who ascend quickly, but there are also those who try to ascend more or less under their own steam, under their own ability, determined to have their own pace instead of the pace that God gives to us. They lack patience, and depending on themselves, their own strength, their own ability to exercise the virtues of each step of the ladder, they fall. They don't await with patience God's giving to them what they need at the appropriate time. When the time comes, instead of receiving the grace of God, they depend on their own strength and they fall. And each one of the virtues that way can become a vice. And so they miss that rung of the ladder and they fall. God is teaching Mary something that she can learn in a way that others can't. He is teaching her patience and she is responding. She isn't running ahead of herself. She is there outside weeping. And then finally, the scripture says, she stoops down humbly and she looks into the cave. And she sees something that was there when St. Peter came in. It was there when St. John came in. But she is the one who sees. The interior of the cave is bright. with the brightness of the uncreated light of God, because this is the place where he arose from death. And there is at the head and the foot of the place where he lay an angel sitting. By the fact that the angels are sitting, Mary knows that they have been waiting. They have been staying there, keeping a kind of vigil in that holy place, wanting to be near the place where he awoke into life out of death and transformed the meaning of our humanity. It is a holy place. It is like a part of heaven or a temple, St. Gregory says. A holy place where this central event has occurred. She sees the angels. Peter, John did not see them. Gregory says this is because of the spiritual quality, the spiritual disposition of Mary Magdalene. Her spiritual path is different than that of Peter and John, as it's different for everyone. She has a humility that enables her to wait when her desire would just as much as anyone else's to have run immediately into the tomb to find out what happened. But she's afraid. And so she goes back to the apostles. She doesn't understand. She doesn't have faith that something has been done, has changed. But it is the quality in her, the quality of this purity of heart, that enables her to see the uncreated light that enlightens and illuminates that cave, and to even speak with the angels. It's not based on her understanding, because she doesn't understand. It's based on her longing for God and her response to him as he intervenes in her with respect to her particular qualities. And she responds to him. One of the angels who speaks says to her, "Why do you weep?" And he is not talking about, "Don't you understand?" That is his first words to enlighten her, to tell her, "Don't grieve. A wonderful thing has happened." She doesn't completely understand because the angel has said that. It's not about understanding. It's about responding to God. And she tells the angel, "They have taken away the body of my Lord, and I don't know where he has been laid." And as she speaks to the angel, the gospel says, suddenly she turns. Gregory suspects that what has happened is that the angels who now have stood have bowed to someone who is standing behind her that she doesn't see. And she turns because of that. And she sees the risen Christ, but she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't understand. It's not about understanding. It's about our living from where we are at the time in love and longing for God and responding to him appropriately as he leads us, not as we are led by our intellectual understanding, by our control of the situation. She is not in control. None of us are in control. God is in control. In our faith that we have in him, he can lead us if we respond and long for him more than anything else. And that's what's happening to Mary Magdalene. There is a certain amount of recognition, enough to respond, but not complete understanding. The time is not yet for Mary. Other things will be revealed as she is ready for them to be revealed. In God's time, not according to the timeline of her life, but in God's time. And he calls her name, Mary. She responds, and she falls down before him, and she grasps his feet. Not still, even then, we can't say she recognized him, she knew him for who he was. She doesn't. She does it. She responds, not out of understanding, but out of love, St. Gregory says. She does it without understanding. Lots of things occur in our spiritual lives. Pascha is a wonderful example that we can't fully take in or understand at the time. We receive as much as we can, and later on we reflect, and we understand things that we could not have understood all at once because there is just too much. And Mary is in that kind of condition. She grasps his feet, even thinking that he is the gardener. Still, she doesn't know anymore that this is the gardener, and yet she reacts the way she does. At some level, there is recognition, but not conscious, not mental recognition. And Jesus tells her not to touch him, because it is not yet time. Every explanation of his words that I have ever heard have been according to a human effort to put the Gospels in a worldly timeline. This event occurred here, and so it must refer to something that is not St. Gregory's traditional understanding of what's going on. What Jesus says, I have not yet ascended, don't touch me yet. She has touched him. He's not scolding her. He's telling her, it is not yet time for you to be able to touch me and to know me by touching me. These things come bit by bit, and it is not yet time for you to be able to do that. You are not yet able to touch me and grasp the full mystery of who I am and all that this means. It is not yet time for you to be able to do that. Other things will need to happen before it is possible for anyone to have that knowledge of God, that Christ has come into the world and done all of the things up to that point that he has done. It takes time for God's action in the world to work itself out. It takes time, the whole time of our lives, for us to receive the fullness of the grace of God that we specifically are capable of in the particular ways and in the particular events of our lives that will be the means of our receiving that grace. We are all saved as human beings by Christ. That has been accomplished. But we need to live the meaning of our lives, and God will reveal to us those things that we need to respond to one at a time. And so he says, I have not yet ascended. It is not possible yet for you to ascend the ladder of divine ascent and enter into the kingdom of God. There are other things that need to occur. She thinks of him as the gardener, and he is a gardener. Jesus Christ is the gardener of our souls. Like a good gardener, he knows exactly the time that the weeds need to be cleared, the ground needs to be tilled, the things that need to be nourished for each quality that we in particular have. He plants the seeds by way of the experiences of our particular life. He gives rain when it needs to be given, grace to us in each particular case for those things that need to grow within us. They're not identical from person to person. The divine light of his shining upon us is given so that those virtues can grow if we respond and let those things grow within us into virtues instead of vices. It isn't something that we have simple control over according to our will. Bit by bit, we must respond to God's grace as it is given. to the divine energies of God as they enter into our life, whenever they enter into our life. Even though we can't put it into an understanding of our own life in our own terms. That's how it is for every human being. And it was revealed for the first time in how Christ dealt with his apostles after his resurrection. With Mary Magdalene, one way. St. Peter, another way. St. John, another way. St. Thomas the Doubter, in yet another way. But with Mary, St. Gregory Palamas says, we are given the example of a patient waiting upon the next thing that needs to happen so that we can continue to move toward the fulfillment of our longing for the whole truth of our lives, which is hidden in Him, not in us. And so as we live our lives and ascend the ladder toward Christ, and He reaches out His hand from above, patience is something that is of critical importance in the spiritual life. Not to be too quick to think that we understand. Not to be too quick to put things in the perspective of a life that is envisioned and controlled by our understanding and our intentions and essentially our love of the world. It is our love of God and our response to Him when He gives us His energies that will be our step from one rung of the ladder to the next in our ascent into the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.